You're having a good time. You're out drinking with the boys. Now it's time to pay the tab.
$11,352.47. Wait, what?
Well, there are court costs, attorney fees, higher insurance costs, damage to your car, DUI fines.
Oof.
Not to mention the damage to your social life. Plan a sober ride or pay the price. Drinking and driving costs more than your drinks. It could cost a life. Learn more at whatsthedamage.org. Brought to you by Virginia DMV. The average cost of a DUI in Virginia is $11,352.47. Drinking and driving costs more than your drinks. Learn more at whatsthedamage.org. Brought to you by Virginia DMV.
Beneath the Corporate Mask. Chapter 1. The Morning Grind. Ethan Hayes stared into his cup of coffee, his reflection barely visible in the black liquid. The hum of the office surrounded him, machines whirring, phones ringing, and the muffled chatter of voices blending into a dull roar. His hand trembled slightly as he lifted the mug, exhaustion seeping through every inch of him. It was only 8:15 a.m., and already he felt like he'd been there for hours. He checked his watch, sighing. 15 minutes until Vivian Cross's daily morning briefing. The thought of her sharp, unforgiving gaze sent a chill through him, tightening his throat. She had a way of cutting him down, her words precise, each one crafted to remind him of his insignificance. He hated it. And yet, he couldn't leave. Not with his family depending on him. Ethan took another sip of coffee and looked at the photo on his desk. His wife, Lily, smiled back at him, her eyes warm and inviting. Next to her was Dylan, their 5-year-old son, grinning with a gap-toothed smile that never failed to melt Ethan's heart. Dylan was the reason he dragged himself here every day, putting up with the endless insults, the overtime, and the soul-crushing demands. For them, he'd swallow his pride every single time. "Ethan," a voice hissed from behind him. He turned to see Marco, his closest friend at work, rushing over, eyes wide with a look of dread. "She's on a warpath. Something about quarterly reports." Ethan's stomach knotted. "Great. Just what I needed this morning. You and me both, buddy." Marco let out a weary laugh, though his face was etched with anxiety. They'd both been in the crosshairs of Vivian's wrath too many times to count. Marco adjusted his tie, his fingers fumbling with the knot. "Let's get it over with." Together, they made their way to the conference room, where a small group of employees had already gathered, all looking equally worn out. Vivian stood at the head of the table, arms crossed, her gaze cold and penetrating as she surveyed them. She was impeccably dressed, her hair pulled back into a tight bun, her expression void of any warmth. "Good morning," she said, though there was nothing good-natured about her tone. Her eyes fell on Ethan, and he felt the weight of her stare like a physical blow. "Ethan, where are we on the client reports? I asked for an update yesterday, and yet," she raised an eyebrow, leaving the accusation hanging in the air. Ethan swallowed, his mind scrambling.
"Eh?
I'm almost done. There was an issue with the data export, but I should have it ready by noon." "Almost done?" She sneered, the corners of her mouth twisting in disdain. "Almost isn't good enough, Ethan. I need it completed. I don't care about your excuses." He bit his tongue, feeling the urge to defend himself, to tell her about the outdated software he was working with, or the lack of support he'd received. But he knew better. Vivian never wanted to hear excuses. She only wanted results, regardless of what it cost him. "Yes, ma'am. I'll have it ready," he replied, forcing himself to keep his tone steady. Her gaze lingered on him a moment longer before moving on, and Ethan felt the air rush back into his lungs as if he'd been holding his breath. He exchanged a quick glance with Marco, who gave him a sympathetic nod. They both knew what it felt like to stand in the line of fire. The rest of the meeting dragged on, with Vivian barking orders and deadlines that seemed designed to be impossible. Ethan felt a flicker of anger rise within him as she laid out each demand. The harder he worked, the less it seemed to matter. Every time he thought he was catching up, she would raise the bar, setting him up for yet another fall. Finally, the meeting came to an end. Ethan gathered his things, his shoulders slumping as he prepared to head back to his desk. As he turned to leave, Vivian's voice cut through the room again.
"Oh,
and Ethan," she said, her tone deceptively sweet. He turned, dreading what she might say next. "Don't disappoint me. I'd hate to have to start looking for someone more competent." The words hit him like a slap. He forced himself to nod, clenching his jaw as he held back a reply. Disappointment was the least of his concerns. Every fiber of his being wanted to snap, to tell her exactly what he thought of her and her demands. But he couldn't afford to lose this job. Not with Lily at home, struggling to make ends meet, and Dylan depending on him. Back at his desk, Ethan sank into his chair, his head pounding. He closed his eyes, taking a deep breath, but all he could see was Vivian's cold, unforgiving expression. He felt trapped, suffocated by the endless cycle of demands, criticisms, and stress that filled his days. His mind drifted to thoughts of freedom, what it might be like to walk out of that building and never look back. But the dream of escape was just that, a dream. Reality was much harsher, and he knew he couldn't afford to lose this job. Not yet, anyway. Hey, Marco's voice interrupted his thoughts. Ethan opened his eyes to see his friend standing beside him, a sympathetic look on his face. Rough morning, huh? Ethan let out a hollow laugh. Is there any other kind around here? Marco chuckled, though there was no real humor in his eyes. I keep telling myself it's temporary, just until something better comes along. Yeah, Ethan replied, though he wasn't sure he believed it anymore. Every day felt like an eternity, and each time he thought about leaving, something pulled him back. His family, his responsibilities, the bills that never stopped coming. As Marco walked back to his own desk, Ethan picked up the photo of Lily and Dylan, letting his fingers trace the edges of the frame. They were his reason, his anchor in a world that seemed determined to grind him down. He took a deep breath, steeling himself. He'd get through today, just like he had yesterday and the day before. But as he put the photo back on his desk, a small voice in the back of his mind whispered, "How much longer can you keep this up?" And for the first time, he wasn't sure he knew the answer. Chapter 2. Cracks in the Foundation. Ethan shuffled through stacks of paperwork, his fingers moving mechanically as he tried to finish the client reports Vivian demanded by noon. He checked the clock on his screen, nerves prickling his skin. It was only 10 a.m., yet he could feel the weight of the deadline pressing down on him like a physical burden. Across the aisle, Marco gave him a quick nod of encouragement. They'd been through this routine so many times, but today felt different. Ethan could feel a gnawing exhaustion that went beyond mere physical tiredness. It was a weariness that had crept into his bones, settling deep inside him, whispering that he couldn't keep going like this. The phone on his desk buzzed, snapping him out of his thoughts. He glanced at the caller ID, Vivian. His heart skipped a beat, the familiar dread pooling in his stomach. "Hello, this is Ethan," he said, trying to keep his voice steady. "Where are we with the reports?" Her voice was clipped, each word sharpened like a blade. "I'm just finishing up the last section. I'll have it to you by noon, as promised." There was a pause, and Ethan could practically hear her smirking on the other end of the line. "See that you do. And I expect it to be flawless, Ethan. I don't have time for mediocrity." The line went dead, leaving him gripping the receiver so tightly his knuckles turned white. He set it down, exhaling slowly, willing himself to stay calm. He couldn't afford to slip up, not with Vivian watching his every move, ready to pounce on any hint of weakness. "Man, she's brutal," Marco murmured, leaning over the divider between their desks. "Does she ever give you a break?" Ethan shook his head, managing a weary smile. "Not likely. But it's just a job, right?" "Yeah, but it shouldn't feel like a prison sentence," Marco replied, his tone laced with sympathy. "She's going to push you until you break, Ethan. I don't know how you do it." "Neither do I," Ethan admitted softly, glancing again at the photo of his family. Dylan's bright, joyful face gave him a glimmer of strength. "But I can't quit. Not with Lily and Dylan depending on me." Marco nodded, understanding etched into his expression. "Maybe something will change. You never know." Ethan forced a smile, but he didn't have the heart to tell Marco he'd stopped believing in change long ago. By the time noon rolled around, Ethan had managed to pull together the client reports. He skimmed through them one last time, his vision blurring from the endless numbers and figures. Satisfied there were no glaring errors, he sent the document off to Vivian and leaned back in his chair, rubbing his temples. The relief was short-lived. Within minutes, a new email notification popped up on his screen, bearing Vivian's name in bold letters. He opened it, his heart sinking as he read her words. "Subject: Disappointment. Ethan, I expected better from you. Page 3 contains an error in the client projections, and page 7 is missing key data points. If you cannot handle the basics, perhaps this role is not for you. The words cut him deeply. Ethan slumped in his chair, the sense of defeat washing over him. He had triple-checked everything, combed through each page with meticulous care. But Vivian always seemed to find something wrong, something she could twist into an accusation of incompetence. It didn't matter how hard he tried, she was always ready to remind him of his failures. As he sat there, staring blankly at his screen, a hand touched his shoulder. He looked up to see Natalie, the colleague whose kindness had become a rare comfort in this hostile place. Her warm brown eyes softened as she took in his dejected expression.
"Hey, Ethan. You okay?" she asked gently.
He managed a tight smile.
"Yeah, just the usual, I guess."
Natalie frowned, glancing at the email still open on his screen.
"Vivian again?"
Ethan nodded. "She says there are mistakes in the report. I don't know what else I could have done. It feels like I'm just waiting for her to fire me."
"Don't let her get to you," Natalie said, her voice steady but full of quiet empathy.
"You're doing your best, and anyone can see that. She's just," she paused, searching for the right word.
"She's just cruel, Ethan. And that says more about her than it ever will about you."
Her words soothed some of the ache in his chest, but the relief was temporary. Ethan knew he couldn't keep going like this, barely holding on, wondering when the next blow would fall. That night, Ethan returned home to the soft glow of the kitchen lights. Lily was there, humming softly as she stirred something on the stove. She turned when she saw him, her face lighting up with a smile that instantly warmed him.
"You're home early," she said, a hint of surprise in her voice.
He shrugged, trying to keep the weariness from showing.
"Had to get out before I lost my mind."
She laughed, but the sound quickly faded as she took a closer look at him.
"Tough day."
Ethan nodded, letting out a long sigh. "It feels like every day is tougher than the last.
Vivian.
She's just relentless, Lily.
I can't do anything right in her eyes."
Lily placed a comforting hand on his arm, her touch grounding him.
"You're doing everything you can, Ethan.
I see how hard you work, and Dylan does too. Don't let her make you feel like you're less than what you are." He leaned into her embrace, feeling some of the tension melt away.
"I just don't know how much longer I can keep going like this. I feel trapped."
Lily pulled back, meeting his gaze with a fierce determination that took him by surprise.
"Then we'll find a way out. Maybe it won't be tomorrow or next month, but we'll get through this. Together."
Her words filled him with a renewed sense of hope. She was right. They had each other, and as long as they did, there was still a chance to make it out of this nightmare. Ethan felt a flicker of determination take root, one that was fragile but growing with each passing second. As they sat down to dinner, Dylan bounded over, chattering about his day at school, filling the room with laughter and joy. For a moment, Ethan allowed himself to forget the heaviness of his job, the dread that waited for him the next morning. In that small bubble of warmth and family, he felt whole again. But deep down, he knew it wouldn't last. The cracks were already forming, stretching wider with each passing day. And though he didn't know it yet, those cracks would soon become chasms, threatening to swallow him whole. Chapter 3: The Weight of Sacrifice. Ethan dragged himself out of bed at 5 a.m.
You're having a good time. You're out drinking with the boys. Now it's time to pay the tab.
$11,352.47. Wait, what?
Well, there are court costs, attorney fees, higher insurance costs, damage to your car, DUI fines.
Oof.
Not to mention the damage to your social life. Plan a sober ride or pay the price. Drinking and driving costs more than your drinks. It could cost a life. Learn more at whatsthedamage.org. Brought to you by Virginia DMV.
His body aching with exhaustion. The room was dark and quiet, the only sound the gentle breaths of Lily, who was still asleep beside him. He glanced at her, feeling a pang of guilt as he watched her peaceful face. They'd barely had time to talk last night after Dylan went to bed. Most evenings, he felt too drained to give her the attention she deserved. He slipped out of bed, careful not to wake her, and headed to the bathroom. The fluorescent light flickered on, casting a harsh glare over his tired reflection. Dark circles clung beneath his eyes, his skin pale and lined with fatigue. He barely recognized himself anymore. Ethan turned on the faucet and splashed cold water on his face, hoping it would shock some life back into him. But even as he braced himself for another day, the weight of his reality sank deeper into his chest. Vivian's constant berating, the endless hours, the hollow feeling of waking up only to go back to a job that was killing him, every part of it gnawed at him, making him feel like he was drowning. "Today will be different," he whispered to himself, though he didn't believe it. Still, he forced a steadying breath and got dressed, pulling on the mask of composure he wore to work every day. The office was dimly lit when he arrived, and for a brief moment, Ethan savored the silence. There was something almost peaceful about the building when it was empty, a stark contrast to the chaos that would soon fill it. He settled at his desk, hoping to get a head start on the workload Vivian had piled on him the day before. But his calm didn't last long. The sharp clack of heels echoed down the hallway, growing louder with each step. Ethan's stomach twisted, recognizing the sound instantly. Vivian was early. He braced himself, his heart beating faster as her silhouette appeared around the corner. She looked every bit as intimidating as she always did, her gaze sharp and assessing as she strode toward him. "Ethan," she said, her voice cold and clipped. "I need you in my office." "No." He didn't dare argue. Rising from his seat, he followed her, the walls seeming to close in around him with each step. Inside her office, Vivian took a seat behind her desk, her expression unreadable as she fixed her gaze on him. "I've reviewed the reports you submitted yesterday," she began, her tone laced with disappointment. "And frankly, I'm not impressed." Ethan clenched his fists at his sides, feeling the familiar sting of humiliation rise within him. "I did my best, Vivian. I triple-checked everything. If there was an error, it must have been minor." "Minor?" She raised an eyebrow, her eyes narrowing. "I don't think you understand the standards we hold here, Ethan. Minor errors add up, and if you can't maintain a higher level of quality, maybe this isn't the place for you." The words hit him like a punch to the gut. He'd heard them so many times, they'd almost become routine, yet they still managed to cut through him, leaving him feeling raw and exposed. The frustration that had been simmering beneath the surface flared, a surge of anger mingling with the helplessness that seemed to define his life these days. "Vivian," he said, struggling to keep his voice steady, "I understand the importance of quality, but you're asking for perfection at a pace that's impossible to maintain. I've been giving everything I have to this job, and it's never enough." Vivian's lips twisted into a smirk. "Are you blaming me for your shortcomings, Ethan? Because if so, I can assure you, there are plenty of people who would gladly take your place and do it right." He bit back his reply, knowing that any further argument would only give her more ammunition to use against him. Instead, he dropped his gaze, swallowing the bitterness that had risen in his throat. "I understand," he muttered. "Good." She leaned back in her chair, a satisfied gleam in her eyes. "Now get back to work. And remember, Ethan, disappointment only goes so far before it turns into consequence." The meeting left him shaken, the small hope he'd clung to this morning crushed beneath her ruthless words. As he returned to his desk, he felt the weight of his sacrifice settle over him like a shroud. He was giving up everything, his time, his health, his pride, all to survive in a job that treated him like he was disposable. The day dragged on, each hour bleeding into the next, a blur of numbers, deadlines, and Vivian's sharp voice echoing in his mind. By lunchtime, Ethan's head throbbed with the beginnings of a migraine, but he couldn't afford to slow down. Not with the report revisions Vivian demanded piling up on his desk. When he finally took a break, he found Marco in the break room, nursing a coffee with the same weary expression Ethan had come to recognize as their shared burden. Marco looked up as Ethan approached, offering a grim smile. "Rough morning?" Marco asked, though the answer was obvious. Ethan let out a hollow laugh, rubbing his temples. "Vivian tore into me again. She says I'm not meeting expectations." Marco shook his head, sympathy darkening his eyes. "She's out of control. I've been here almost as long as you, and I've never seen her push anyone this hard. It's like she's on a mission to break you." "I think she is," Ethan muttered, the bitterness creeping back into his voice. "Every day feels like a test, like she's just waiting for me to fail." "Maybe it's time to push back," Marco said softly, his gaze shifting around the room as though checking to make sure they were alone. "You can't keep sacrificing yourself for this place, Ethan. It's not worth it." Ethan felt a pang of something. Hope, maybe, or desperation. He wanted to believe that he could stand up to Vivian, that he could fight back and reclaim some part of himself. but the thought of what it might cost him held him back. He couldn't risk losing this job, not with his family depending on him.
"I don't know, Marco," he replied, shaking his head. "I'm too deep in to walk away now. But maybe there's another way."
Marco's eyes narrowed. "What do you mean?" Ethan hesitated, the idea barely formed, a glimmer of rebellion that had been simmering beneath his exhaustion.
"I don't know. But I can't keep going like this. I need something to change."
Marco gave him a long look.
"You're having a good time. You're out drinking with the boys. Now it's time to pay the tab.
$11,352.47. Wait, what?"
"Well, there are court costs, attorney fees, higher insurance costs, damage to your car, DUI fines.
Oof.
Not to mention the damage to your social life. Plan a sober ride or pay the price. Drinking and driving costs more than your drinks. It could cost a life. Learn more at whatsthedamage.org. Brought to you by Virginia DMV."
His expression one of cautious understanding.
"Just be careful, Ethan. I get it, I really do. But this place has a way of chewing people up and spitting them out."
As they sat there in the quiet of the break room, Ethan felt the full weight of his sacrifice settle over him, the realization sinking in that he'd been giving everything to a place that would never care for him in return. And for the first time, he allowed himself to consider the possibility that he could take control of his own fate.
Chapter 4. The Descent. Ethan's fingers flew over his keyboard, his mind barely registering the work as he powered through another round of report revisions. Vivian's voice still echoed in his head, each dismissive word fueling the frustration that simmered just below the surface. It was like a quiet hum of rage, a steady reminder of the injustice he faced daily.
Hours passed, and soon it was evening. Most of the office had emptied, the silence settling around him like a weight. He was one of the last few left, the faint glow of his computer casting shadows over his tired features. A sudden ping from his email jolted him out of his trance. He clicked on it, his stomach dropping as he saw the subject line, "Revised Expectations." He opened the email, already bracing himself.
"Ethan, I expect these reports completed and cross-checked by tomorrow morning. Failure to meet these expectations will reflect poorly on your future here. Consider this your final warning."
Ethan clenched his jaw, feeling the familiar wave of anger rise within him. He'd done everything she'd asked, sacrificed his sanity and time with his family, and it still wasn't enough. He felt like he was on a never-ending treadmill, running faster and faster with no hope of ever reaching the finish line. A soft knock on the doorframe pulled him from his thoughts. He looked up to see Natalie standing there, her eyes filled with concern as she took in his exhausted expression.
"Still here?" she asked, stepping inside.
Ethan nodded, forcing a smile.
"Yeah, Vivian's orders."
Natalie's face tightened with sympathy.
"She really doesn't let up, does she?"
"No, she doesn't," he replied, his voice laced with bitterness.
"It's like she's trying to break me."
Natalie hesitated, glancing around the empty office before lowering her voice.
"You know, you don't have to put up with this. There are other jobs, other places where you'd be valued."
Ethan sighed, shaking his head.
"I wish it were that simple. But I can't afford to leave, not with a family to take care of. And honestly, I don't think I'd even know where to start. This place has taken so much out of me, it's like I don't even remember who I was before."
Natalie's expression softened, and she reached out, placing a comforting hand on his arm.
"Then maybe it's time to start taking something back, Ethan. You deserve better than this."
Her words struck something deep within him, a flicker of resolve igniting in his chest. For the first time, he considered the possibility that he could fight back, that he didn't have to accept this treatment as his reality.
"Maybe you're right," he murmured, his mind racing with thoughts he hadn't allowed himself to entertain before.
Natalie gave him an encouraging smile.
"Just think about it, okay? You're not alone in this."
As she walked away, Ethan felt a strange mixture of relief and trepidation settle over him. Her words lingered in his mind, a quiet challenge he couldn't ignore. That night, Ethan sat at his kitchen table long after Lily and Dylan had gone to bed. The house was silent, the only sound the ticking of the clock on the wall, each tick echoing in his ears like a countdown. He stared at his laptop, his fingers hovering over the keyboard, hesitating. Finally, he typed a single word into the search bar, "whistleblower." The results filled his screen,
articles detailing the stories of people who had exposed corruption and unethical practices within their workplaces. Some were celebrated, others vilified, but they all shared one thing in common. They had taken control of their own fate, refusing to be silenced. Ethan's heart raced as he scrolled through the stories, each one stirring a sense of possibility within him. He thought about all the times he'd been humiliated, all the sacrifices he'd made for a company that didn't care whether he lived or died. The idea of exposing them, of finally speaking out, sent a thrill through him, a feeling he hadn't experienced in years. But as quickly as the thrill came, it was replaced by fear. What would happen to him if he did this? What would happen to his family? He couldn't afford to lose his job, not with Dylan's school fees and their mounting bills. The risk was immense, and he wasn't sure if he had the courage to follow through. He closed the laptop, his hands trembling. The weight of the decision pressed down on him, suffocating in its intensity. He wanted to believe that he could be the one to make a change, that he could stand up to Vivian and everything she represented. But the fear held him back, a reminder of the stakes involved. The next morning, Ethan returned to the office, his mind still reeling from the previous night's research. He was no closer to making a decision, the conflict gnawing at him like a festering wound. As he settled at his desk, Marco appeared beside him, looking unusually solemn. "Hey, man. You okay?" Marco asked, his voice low. Ethan nodded, though he knew he wasn't fooling anyone.
"Yeah.
Just thinking." Marco studied him for a moment before glancing around, ensuring they were alone. "I heard what Vivian said to you yesterday. She had no right to talk to you like that, Ethan." Ethan shrugged, feigning indifference. "She's my boss. What can I do?" "You could fight back," Marco said, his tone deadly serious. "You could expose her, the whole toxic culture here. You're not the only one she's hurt, you know." Ethan looked at his friend, surprise flickering in his eyes. He hadn't expected Marco to be so direct, so supportive. But even as he considered the possibility, the fear resurfaced, reminding him of everything he stood to lose. "I don't know, Marco. I've got a family. I can't just throw everything away on a gamble." "It wouldn't be a gamble if you have the evidence," Marco replied, leaning closer. "Think about it. If you document everything, build a case, you could take them down. You could make sure no one else has to go through what you've been through." The idea was tempting, more tempting than Ethan cared to admit. But the fear still held him back, a dark cloud that refused to dissipate. He wanted to believe in the possibility of change, of standing up for himself, but the risks loomed large, casting a shadow over his every thought. "I'll think about it," he said finally, his voice barely above a whisper. Marco nodded, a glimmer of understanding in his eyes. "Whatever you decide, Ethan, I'm with you. You don't have to face this alone." As Marco walked away, Ethan felt a surge of gratitude. In a place where kindness was a rare commodity, Marco's support was a lifeline. But even as he considered his friend's words, the doubt lingered, a reminder of the consequences he might face. That night, Ethan lay in bed, staring up at the ceiling, the weight of his decision pressing down on him. He thought about Lily, about Dylan, about the life they'd built together. He wanted to protect them, to shield them from the ugliness he faced every day. But he also wanted to be someone they could be proud of, a man who stood up for what was right. The clock ticked on, the minutes stretching into hours as he wrestled with his thoughts. And as dawn began to break, casting a pale light over the room, Ethan made a decision. It was a decision born of desperation, of anger, and of a deep-seated need to reclaim his dignity. He would start documenting everything. It was a small step, a quiet act of rebellion in a place that demanded silence. But for the first time, Ethan felt a sense of purpose, a glimmer of hope that he could fight back against the forces that had tried to break him. As he closed his eyes, he knew there was no turning back. The path he'd chosen was dangerous, uncertain, but it was his. And for the first time in years, he felt like he was in control of his own fate. Chapter 5. Seeds of Rebellion. Ethan woke the next morning with a strange sense of resolve. The familiar dread of going to work was still there, but it was tempered by a quiet determination he hadn't felt in years. He'd made a choice, however small it felt. He would document everything. It wasn't much, but it was a start. He moved through his morning routine in a daze, his thoughts already churning with ways to gather evidence. He would need to be subtle, careful. Vivian's wrath was relentless. One wrong step, and she'd have him out the door in a heartbeat. When he arrived at the office, he kept his head down, slipping into his cubicle unnoticed. As he logged into his computer, he opened a hidden folder he'd created the night before, cleverly disguised as a routine work file. This would be where he'd store every email, every unreasonable demand, and every criticism Vivian threw at him. The paper trail would be thorough, indisputable evidence of her mistreatment. For the first time in months, Ethan felt a flicker of control. The job still crushed him, the demand still piled up, but at least now he was fighting back, even if only in small, secret ways. A few hours later, as Ethan worked on his latest set of reports, Vivian's voice echoed from across the room. "Ethan," she called, her tone cold. "A word in my office, please." He felt the familiar rush of anxiety but pushed it down, schooling his expression into one of calm professionalism. He grabbed his notepad, a new edition he'd brought just for occasions like this, and followed her down the hallway. He'd record every word she said, every impossible demand, every insult. This time, he wouldn't just let it roll off his back. Vivian was already seated at her desk when he entered, her fingers tapping rhythmically against the surface as she waited. She didn't bother to look up as he took his seat across from her, her eyes fixed on the screen in front of her. "Your last report," she began, her tone icy, "was sloppy. Page 12, specifically. You missed an important data entry. Do you realize how much time I wasted fixing your mistakes?"
"You're having a good time. You're out drinking with the boys. Now it's time to pay the tab."
$11,352.47. Wait, what?
"Well, there are court costs, attorney fees, higher insurance costs, damage to your car, DUI fines."
"Oof."
"Not to mention the damage to your social life. Plan a sober ride or pay the price. Drinking and driving costs more than your drinks. It could cost a life. Learn more at whatsthedamage.org. Brought to you by Virginia DMV."
Ethan kept his face neutral, nodding as he jotted down her words in his notepad. He felt a strange satisfaction as he recorded her accusation, imagining how these words would look someday, evidence of the constant barrage of criticism he endured. "I apologize, Vivian," he replied, keeping his tone even. "I'll review it again and make sure it's perfect." "See that you do," she snapped, finally looking up from her screen. Her gaze was sharp, scrutinizing, as though she could sense that something had changed in him. "And, Ethan, I hope you understand the importance of maintaining a high standard here. We don't have room for incompetence." He fought back the urge to respond, to tell her exactly what he thought of her high standards. Instead, he forced a tight smile. "Understood, Vivian." As he left her office, he felt the weight of her stare on his back, the faint sense that she knew he was slipping from her grasp. But he didn't care. For the first time in ages, he walked away with his head held high. Back at his desk, Ethan opened his hidden folder, saving his notes from the meeting. The small act of defiance filled him with a renewed sense of purpose. He wasn't just a cog in the machine anymore. He was documenting, archiving, building a case. Slowly, methodically, he would gather the evidence he needed to stand up against the treatment he'd endured for far too long. Marco leaned over the divider, raising an eyebrow as he noticed Ethan's grim expression. "Everything all right?" Ethan nodded, a hint of a smirk playing on his lips. "Just the usual Vivian show." "But I'm handling it." "Handling it, huh?" Marco chuckled, though his eyes held a glimmer of curiosity. "Care to share your secret?" Ethan hesitated, unsure if he should confide in anyone just yet. But Marco was his closest friend here, the one person who had always been there to support him. After a moment, he leaned closer, lowering his voice. "I'm documenting everything," he whispered. "Every criticism, every unfair demand. I'm keeping a record." Marco's eyes widened, a flash of excitement sparking in his gaze. "You're really going for it, huh? About time someone held her accountable." "It's just the beginning," Ethan replied, his voice barely above a whisper. "I don't know where it'll lead, but it feels good to finally be doing something." Marco gave him a reassuring smile. "I'm here if you need any help. Maybe it's time we all started keeping records. She's got a lot of skeletons in her closet." Ethan nodded, a sense of camaraderie strengthening his resolve. He wasn't alone in this fight. There were others who felt the same, who had endured Vivian's wrath and wanted to see her brought down. Over the next few days, Ethan's routine changed subtly. He worked just as hard as before, meeting every deadline, fulfilling every unreasonable demand Vivian threw his way. But now, each interaction was carefully recorded, every email archived. He was meticulous, storing every piece of evidence in his hidden folder, building his case slowly and quietly. He began to notice patterns in Vivian's behavior, the way she targeted certain employees, berating them for minor mistakes, holding them to impossible standards. He recorded it all, his notes growing thicker with each passing day. The paper trail was damning, a testament to the toxic culture she had cultivated. As his secret archive grew, Ethan felt a shift within himself. The constant fear he'd once felt when he saw Vivian approaching began to dissipate, replaced by a quiet confidence. He wasn't just a victim anymore. He was fighting back, preparing himself for the moment when he could finally expose her and the company for what they were. One afternoon, as he was organizing his files, Natalie stopped by his desk, her expression hesitant.
"Hey, Ethan," she said, glancing around as though afraid of being overheard.
"Can we talk?" He nodded, gesturing for her to pull up a chair. She settled beside him, lowering her voice to a whisper. "I've noticed you've been different lately," she said, her eyes searching his face. "More focused. More determined." Ethan's lips curled into a small smile. "I guess you could say I've decided to take control of things." Natalie nodded, understanding dawning in her expression. "I've been doing the same, actually. Documenting everything. You're not the only one she's hurt, Ethan. There are more of us than you think." Her words filled him with a renewed sense of purpose. He wasn't alone. There was a growing network of people who had suffered under Vivian's rule, each one quietly gathering their own pieces of evidence, building a case against her. "Thank you, Natalie," he said, his voice filled with gratitude. "I didn't realize. I thought I was the only one." She gave him a reassuring smile. "You're not. And when the time comes, we'll all be here, ready to stand with you." As she left, Ethan felt a sense of solidarity that he hadn't felt in years. The small act of defiance he'd started had sparked something bigger, a quiet rebellion that spread through the ranks. They were no longer alone, each person working in isolation, suffering in silence. They were a united front, each one determined to see justice served. That night, as he sat at his kitchen table, his hidden folder open on his laptop, Ethan felt a surge of hope. The journey was just beginning, the fight still in its early stages, but he was no longer afraid. He was no longer a victim. He was a force, a voice for those who had been silenced for too long. And he knew, without a doubt, that he wouldn't rest until Vivian and her toxic empire crumbled beneath the weight of their own misdeeds. The seeds of rebellion had been planted, and they were growing with a quiet strength that Vivian could never anticipate. This chapter shows Ethan's newfound sense of agency as he builds his case, gaining strength from the solidarity of his colleagues. His quiet defiance has ignited a movement among those who have suffered under Vivian's rule, setting the stage for the unfolding rebellion. Each small act of resistance strengthens Ethan's resolve, bringing him closer to the moment of reckoning that lies ahead. Chapter 6. The Gathering Storm. Ethan felt the subtle, growing shift within the office. It was as if the air had changed, becoming heavier with the quiet tension of a shared secret. Around him, colleagues exchanged glances, their expressions weary yet purposeful. Those who had been silent before now whispered in hushed voices, moving with a sense of unity that hadn't existed until now. Each morning, Ethan slipped into his desk, opening his hidden folder and carefully adding to his archive of evidence. The emails, the unreasonable deadlines, the sharp reprimands from Vivian, they all had a place in his growing case. And it wasn't just his contributions anymore. Natalie, Marco, and even a few others had started sharing their own documentation with him. Each entry was a fresh reminder of what they'd endured under Vivian's reign, a testament to the quiet rebellion building strength beneath her notice. As Ethan leaned over to grab a cup of coffee, Marco joined him at the break room counter, his voice low. "I'm hearing murmurs," Marco said, a faint smirk playing on his lips. "People are starting to talk. Word spreading about what you're doing, Ethan." Ethan took a sip, trying to keep his expression neutral. "What exactly are they saying?" "That someone's finally standing up to Vivian. They're getting curious, asking questions. You've got them interested." A small smile tugged at Ethan's mouth. He hadn't intended to inspire anyone, but knowing he wasn't alone filled him with renewed resolve. He felt the camaraderie between them growing, like cracks in the concrete of Vivian's carefully controlled environment, spreading wider with every passing day.
Good, he murmured. The more people join, the harder it'll be for her to ignore. That afternoon, Ethan sat at his desk, engrossed in his work, when an email notification popped up on his screen. His pulse quickened as he saw Vivian's name in the subject line. Subject: One-on-one review. Ethan, I'd like to meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. to discuss your recent performance. He stared at the message, a strange mix of dread and determination settling over him. Vivian rarely requested private meetings unless there was something serious to discuss, usually a complaint or a thinly veiled threat to remind him of his place. But this time, he was ready. He spent the rest of the evening gathering his notes, organizing his evidence, and mentally preparing himself for what he knew would be a tense meeting. Every word he'd written, every insult and unreasonable demand he'd documented, felt like a shield he was slowly piecing together. Tomorrow, he wouldn't just sit there and take it. He would be ready to push back, even if it meant risking everything. The next morning, he arrived early, his heart pounding as he took his seat in the quiet, nearly empty office. Natalie passed by, giving him an encouraging nod, and Marco squeezed his shoulder as he walked by, their silent support giving him the courage he needed. At precisely 9 a.m., Ethan walked to Vivian's office, his notepad tucked under his arm. She looked up as he entered, her expression as sharp and impassive as ever. She gestured for him to sit, not bothering with pleasantries. "Ethan," she began, folding her hands on her desk, "I've been reviewing your work recently, and I'm concerned. You've been slipping. Your performance has become inconsistent, and frankly, I expect more from someone in your position." Ethan held his gaze steady, his hands resting on the notepad. "I don't believe my work has slipped, Vivian. I've met every deadline you set, even the ones you changed last minute." Her expression hardened. "Is that so?" "Because I see a pattern of excuses here. Every time I give you feedback, you seem to think it's up for debate." Ethan felt the anger bubble up, but he kept his voice calm. "Feedback isn't a problem, Vivian. But I'd like to address the way that feedback has been delivered. The constant insults, the impossible deadlines, the way you single me out for criticism while ignoring the work I put in every day." Vivian's eyes narrowed, a hint of something unreadable flashing across her face. "Are you suggesting I'm unfair in my treatment?" "Yes," he replied, his voice steady. "And I'm not the only one who feels that way." Her expression faltered for a moment, a flicker of uncertainty crossing her features before her cold facade slipped back into place. "You seem to think you're entitled to dictate how I manage this team, Ethan." "I'm not trying to dictate anything, Vivian. But I am saying that respect goes both ways. We're here to work together, not endure constant criticism and hostility." Vivian leaned back in her chair, her gaze appraising. "Be very careful, Ethan. This kind of attitude won't get you far in this company. I've seen people come and go, and trust me, most of them are easily replaced." For a moment, silence filled the room, thick and tense. Ethan felt his pulse quicken, his body bracing for the impact of her words. But instead of backing down, he found himself holding her gaze, refusing to let the fear control him. "I understand," he replied, his tone quiet but resolute. "But if things continue this way, I might have to find somewhere else to work. Somewhere that values what I bring to the table." Vivian's mouth twisted into a smile that didn't reach her eyes. "You're welcome to try. But don't be surprised if your options are limited. People talk, Ethan. Especially about employees who think they're too good for the rules." Ethan rose to his feet, gripping his notepad with a newfound determination. "Thank you for your time, Vivian. I'll get back to work." As he walked out of her office, he felt a surge of adrenaline rush through him. He knew he'd crossed a line, one that couldn't be uncrossed. But for the first time, he didn't care. He wasn't just standing up for himself anymore. He was standing up for every person in that office who had ever suffered under Vivian's toxic management. Back at his desk, he opened his hidden folder, his hands trembling slightly as he typed up the details of the meeting. Each word he wrote felt like another brick in the wall he was building, a barrier against the years of fear and frustration that had kept him silent. Marco leaned over the divider, his voice a low whisper. "How'd it go?" Ethan glanced up, a faint smile tugging at his lips. "It went better than I expected. She knows I'm not backing down." Marco chuckled, a look of admiration in his eyes. "About time someone made her sweat." "Yeah," Ethan replied, feeling the weight of his words settle over him. But it's only the beginning. As the day wore on, word of his confrontation with Vivian began to spread through the office. Colleagues he barely knew stopped by his desk, offering nods of support and quiet words of encouragement. It was as though a spark had ignited within the office, a shared sense of purpose that brought them all together in a way they hadn't been before. Natalie approached him near the end of the day, her expression a mixture of excitement and determination.
"We're with you, Ethan. All of us. If you need more evidence, just let us know. Vivian's been getting away with this for too long."
Ethan nodded, gratitude welling up inside him.
"Thank you, Natalie. I couldn't have done this alone."
As he gathered his things to leave that evening, Ethan felt a strange sense of peace settle over him. He knew the fight was far from over, and that Vivian would retaliate in whatever way she could. But he wasn't alone. He had allies, friends, people who were willing to stand beside him and push back against the oppressive culture they'd been forced to endure. For the first time in years, he felt a flicker of hope, a hope that things could change, that he could carve out a new path, one built on respect, integrity, and the strength to stand up for himself. The gathering storm was only beginning, but Ethan was ready to face it head-on. Chapter 7. A Warning in the Shadows. Ethan arrived at the office the next morning, bracing himself for whatever retaliation Vivian might have planned. The confrontation in her office had been empowering, but he knew it would have consequences. He could feel the weight of her eyes on him as he passed her office, her gaze a quiet threat that hung in the air. He settled into his cubicle, opening his hidden folder and reviewing the previous day's notes. Each entry felt like a lifeline, a testament to the rebellion taking shape beneath the surface. He had no illusions about the risks involved, but his determination outweighed his fear. He would see this through whatever it took. Mid-morning, an email notification popped up on his screen. Subject: Mandatory Performance Review, Immediate. Ethan, report to HR at 10:30 a.m. for an unscheduled performance review. His stomach twisted as he read the email. Vivian was moving faster than he'd anticipated, using HR as her weapon. He glanced at the clock. He had 20 minutes to prepare. As he gathered his notes and took a steadying breath, Marco appeared at his desk, his face etched with concern.
"HR, huh? Looks like Vivian's making her move."
"Yeah," Ethan replied, keeping his voice low. "She didn't waste any time."
Marco's expression hardened. "You've got this, Ethan. Just remember, they can't intimidate you if you hold your ground." Ethan nodded, feeling the quiet strength of his friend's support.
"Thanks, Marco. I'll let you know how it goes."
The HR office was sterile, decorated in muted tones that felt as cold as the people who worked there. Ethan sat across from Lisa, the HR manager, a woman whose expression was as carefully guarded as Vivian's. She folded her hands neatly on the table, her gaze steely and impersonal.
"Ethan, we've received some concerns regarding your performance," she began, her tone neutral.
"It appears there have been issues with meeting deadlines, as well as concerns about your conduct toward management." Ethan kept his expression calm, his fingers pressing lightly against his hidden notepad under the table.
"I understand, Lisa. But I'd like to clarify that I've met every deadline, even when they were adjusted with little notice."
Lisa raised an eyebrow. "According to Vivian, there have been multiple instances where your work quality has not met expectations." Ethan took a breath, choosing his words carefully. "With respect, I believe the expectations have been deliberately set to be impossible. I have documentation of changing deadlines, unreasonable demands, and a pattern of behavior that has made it increasingly difficult for me to perform at my best."
Lisa's gaze faltered briefly, a flicker of discomfort crossing her face.
"Ethan, we need to address these issues professionally. Bringing accusations against management isn't productive."
Ethan leaned forward, his voice steady. "I'm simply stating facts, Lisa. I have documentation to support everything I've said."
For a moment, silence filled the room, tension thick in the air. Lisa looked away, flipping through her papers, and Ethan could tell she was caught off guard. The facade of indifference cracked, if only slightly, revealing the undercurrent of unease that ran beneath her calm exterior. Finally, she cleared her throat.
"Very well, Ethan. I'll make a note of your concerns. However, be aware that any further disruptions to the workplace will be handled accordingly."
"Is that clear?"
"Crystal," he replied, his gaze unwavering.
As he left the HR office, a sense of victory simmered beneath his anxiety. Vivian's strategy had backfired, if only slightly, and he'd managed to keep his composure. But he knew this was only the beginning. Vivian wouldn't give up easily, and he had to be ready for whatever she tried next. Back at his desk, Ethan felt the eyes of his colleagues on him, their expressions a mixture of curiosity and concern. He gave a small nod to Marco, who offered a thumbs up from his cubicle, a silent acknowledgement of the battle they were all watching unfold.
"Hey," Natalie whispered, leaning over the divider between their desks. "How did it go?"
"They tried to scare me," he replied, keeping his voice low. "But I think they were caught off guard. I don't think Vivian expected me to push back." Natalie smiled, a glint of pride in her eyes.
"Good.
She needs to know she can't keep getting away with this." As she walked away, Ethan felt a surge of gratitude. Natalie, Marco, and the others, they were more than just colleagues. They were allies, friends who had rallied around him in the face of adversity. And with their support, he felt ready to face whatever came next. The day wore on, and the tension in the office was palpable. Every email, every glance from Vivian felt loaded with a silent threat, as though she were watching him more closely, waiting for him to slip up. Ethan kept his head down, focused on his work, but he could feel her presence lurking, a shadow that followed him wherever he went. As he wrapped up for the day, an email appeared in his inbox. He opened it, his heart sinking as he saw the subject line. Subject: immediate meeting, after hours. It was from Vivian, a direct order for him to meet her in her office after the rest of the team had gone home. He stared at the message, a chill running through him. An after-hours meeting could only mean one thing: Vivian was preparing to issue her ultimatum. Marco stopped by his desk, his brow furrowed as he noticed Ethan's expression.
"What is it?"
"Vivian wants to meet after hours," Ethan replied, his voice low.
"Alone?"
Marco's face hardened.
"That doesn't sound good.
Be careful, Ethan. She's cornered, and that's when people get desperate."
"I know," Ethan said, feeling the weight of his decision pressing down on him. "But I have to face her. I can't keep running from this."
Marco nodded, clapping him on the shoulder. "We're with you, no matter what happens." As the office emptied out, Ethan took a deep breath, steeling himself for what he knew would be a confrontation. He walked to Vivian's office, his heart pounding as he knocked on the door. "Come in," she called, her voice cold and precise. He stepped inside, closing the door behind him. Vivian sat at her desk, her gaze icy as she looked up at him. She gestured for him to sit, and he complied, keeping his expression calm. "Ethan," she began, her tone dripping with false politeness, "I wanted to speak to you privately because I believe we've reached an impasse." He raised an eyebrow, waiting for her to continue. "I understand you've been spreading discontent among the team," she said, her voice laced with accusation. "Your behavior has become disruptive, and it's affecting the workplace." Ethan felt a surge of anger but kept his tone steady. "With all due respect, Vivian, I've done nothing but respond to the treatment I've received. If that's considered disruptive, then perhaps we should discuss the reasons behind it." Her eyes narrowed, a glint of anger flashing in her gaze. "This is not a negotiation, Ethan. I expect you to fall in line. If you cannot, then perhaps it's time for you to consider other options." He held her gaze, his voice unyielding. "I don't think that will be necessary. I have every intention of continuing to do my job, professionally. But I won't be intimidated, Vivian."
"Not anymore."
A tense silence filled the room, her mouth twisting into a cold smile. "Is that a threat, Ethan?"
"No," he replied, his tone even.
"It's a promise. I'm here to do my work, but I will no longer tolerate mistreatment." She stared at him, her expression unreadable. For a moment, he wondered if she would fire him on the spot. But instead, she leaned back, her gaze calculating. "Very well, Ethan," she said finally, her voice dripping with contempt. "You may return to your desk. But remember, you're on thin ice. One more misstep, and you'll regret it." He nodded, standing to leave. "Thank you for your time, Vivian." As he walked out, he felt a strange sense of exhilaration. The tension between them had reached its breaking point, but he had refused to back down. He had faced her threats, her intimidation, and emerged with his dignity intact. Outside the office, the evening air was crisp and cool, a stark contrast to the stifling tension of the day. Ethan took a deep breath, savoring the feeling of freedom, however temporary it might be.
He didn't know what tomorrow would bring, but he knew one thing. He was no longer alone in this fight. Vivian's reign of terror was cracking, and he was ready to see it shattered. As he walked home, he felt the weight of the battle ahead, but he carried it with pride. He was no longer just a cog in the machine. He was a force, a voice for change, and he would not be silenced. The storm was coming, and he was ready to face it head-on. Chapter 8. Strength in Numbers. The next day, the office was buzzing with a strange tension, an undercurrent of curiosity and unease that seemed to ripple through every cubicle. Word of Ethan's after-hours meeting with Vivian had spread quickly, whispered conversations taking place at every corner. People threw him glances filled with curiosity and sympathy, and though it felt strange to be the center of attention, it also gave him a sense of quiet pride. For once, he wasn't just a silent sufferer. Mako sidled up to him mid-morning, his expression a mix of excitement and concern. "How'd it go last night? I heard she called you into her office after everyone left." Ethan nodded, a wry smile tugging at his lips. "It was tense. She tried to issue another ultimatum, but I didn't back down. I let her know I wasn't going to tolerate her treatment anymore." Mako's eyes widened, a glint of admiration flashing across his face. "You really said that? Man, I wish I'd seen her face." "It wasn't easy," Ethan admitted, his tone softening. "But it felt right. I'm tired of hiding, Mako. Tired of pretending everything's okay when it's not." "You're not alone in that," Mako replied, his voice low but filled with conviction. "People are watching you, Ethan. They're inspired. You've shown them that they don't have to take this kind of abuse. You've sparked something." Ethan glanced around the office, noticing the quiet nods and small smiles that his colleagues threw his way. It was a subtle show of support, but it was there, and it filled him with a sense of belonging he hadn't felt in a long time. These weren't just co-workers anymore. They were allies, friends, even a kind of family. As he turned back to his computer, another email notification popped up. This time, it was from Natalie. Subject: Meeting, after work. "Ethan, a few of us want to talk after hours. We think it's time we take action as a group. Are you in?" Ethan felt a jolt of excitement reading the message. It was one thing to document and confront Vivian on his own, but a coordinated effort? That could be the push they needed to create real change. He replied with a simple, "Count me in," feeling the thrill of purpose settle over him. Whatever was coming, he knew he wouldn't face it alone. At 6 p.m., after the office had emptied out, Ethan made his way to the small break room where Natalie and Mako were waiting, along with a handful of other colleagues who had quietly endured Vivian's oppressive rule. They greeted him with nods and smiles, a sense of solidarity filling the space. Natalie stepped forward, her expression determined. "Thank you all for being here. We're here because we've all been dealing with the same thing: unreasonable demands, constant criticism, and a toxic environment. It's time we do something about it." Ethan nodded, glancing around the room. "I've been documenting everything. I have emails, notes from meetings, deadlines that were impossible to meet. It's a paper trail that shows exactly what we're dealing with. If we combine our documentation, we might have enough to build a strong case." Mako chimed in, his voice steady. "I think we should go to HR together, with everything we have. Individually, they can ignore us or brush us aside, but as a group, they'll have to listen." A murmur of agreement rippled through the room, each person nodding as the plan took shape. Ethan could see the hope in their faces, a shared sense of purpose that made him realize just how much they'd all been suffering in silence. Natalie raised her hand, silencing the group. "But we need to be prepared. Vivian isn't just going to sit back and let this happen. She'll try to discredit us, undermine us. We have to be ready for whatever she throws our way." Ethan looked around, his gaze lingering on each person's determined expression. "Are we all in?" The group exchanged glances, and one by one, they nodded, a unified front forming before his eyes. Over the next few days, they worked in quiet coordination, each person adding to the growing archive of evidence. Emails were printed and saved, meeting notes were copied, and personal testimonies were written, detailing specific incidents of mistreatment. The folder grew thick with their collective voices, a powerful reminder of the strength they held together. The small team met regularly, often after hours, sharing their stories and offering support as they prepared for the showdown ahead.
It was during one of these meetings that Natalie made a suggestion that sent a ripple of excitement through the group.
"What if we reach out to the board of directors?" she proposed, her eyes gleaming with purpose.
HR might be in Vivian's pocket, but the board, they're obligated to listen. They're responsible for the company's image and well-being. The idea hung in the air, a daring proposition that seemed both terrifying and thrilling. But as the group considered it, the logic became clear. The board had the authority to hold Vivian accountable. If they presented their case directly to the people at the top, it would be impossible for Vivian to bury their voices. Ethan felt a surge of adrenaline.
"It's risky, but if we go through with this, we could make a real difference. Not just for us, but for anyone who comes after us."
The decision was unanimous. They would gather everything they had and present it to the board, bypassing HR and forcing the higher-ups to confront the toxic environment they'd allowed to flourish under Vivian's leadership. The next week was filled with meticulous preparation. They rehearsed their presentation, fine-tuning every detail to ensure their voices would be heard. Ethan felt a strange mix of fear and exhilaration, the knowledge that they were about to confront the very system that had kept them silent for so long. On the day of the presentation, they filed into the boardroom, their collective nerves buzzing with anticipation. The board members sat at the far end of the long table, their expressions a mix of curiosity and impatience as they glanced over the group. Ethan stepped forward, his heart pounding as he began to speak.
"Thank you for meeting with us today. We're here because we believe in the potential of this company, but we can't ignore the toxic environment that has taken hold under Vivian Cross's leadership. We've come with evidence, testimonies, and a commitment to see this company change for the better." As he spoke, the group presented their documentation, each person adding their voice to the story they had built together. The board members listened in silence, their expressions growing more serious with every piece of evidence presented. By the time they finished, the weight of their testimonies hung heavy in the room, an undeniable force that couldn't be dismissed. The head of the board, a stern-looking woman with silver hair, finally spoke.
"We appreciate your courage in bringing this to our attention. Rest assured, we will conduct a thorough investigation, and if we find these claims to be valid, appropriate action will be taken."
A sense of relief washed over the group, the months of suffering and fear finally lifted, if only slightly. They had done it. They had spoken their truth. And now it was in the hands of those who held the power to make a difference. The aftermath was a whirlwind. An investigation was launched, interviews were conducted, and Vivian's behavior was scrutinized with a level of intensity she had never expected. As the weeks passed, her once untouchable authority began to crumble, the weight of her actions catching up to her in ways she couldn't avoid. The final verdict came down one rainy afternoon, the email arriving in their inboxes like a beacon of hope.
Subject: Notice of Leadership Change. After a comprehensive investigation, we have decided to make a change in leadership. Effective immediately, Vivian Cross has been removed from her position. Ethan stared at the email, a sense of victory flooding through him.
They had done it. Together, they had brought down the person who had tried to make their lives a living hell, breaking the toxic cycle that had plagued the office for years. As he looked around at his colleagues, his friends, he saw the same sense of triumph reflected in their faces. They had fought for themselves, for each other, and for the future of the company they believed in.
Ethan took a deep breath, savoring the moment. For the first time in years, he felt free. The fear, the tension, the weight of Vivian's oppression, all of it had finally lifted, replaced by a sense of purpose and pride. As he packed up to leave for the day, he paused, taking one last look around the office. It was no longer a place of suffering, but one of resilience, of strength, and of the enduring power of unity. They had faced the storm, and together, they had emerged victorious.